an owner for it. Look at that. There you are. There you are. The second announcement I have for you is that this week we ramp back up into a post-holiday normal routine. So a lot of things are starting back up this week. We have midweek manna on Wednesday downstairs in the chapel. Yoga begins again this week in the chapel on Thursday. We have regular programming kind of ramping back up for the year. So be sure to take a look at the care line and the bulletin for information on those things. If you did not make it this morning to Sunday school, you missed out on a really fun morning. But guess what? We're going to be doing it every week. So join us next week if you'd like to. We had a great combination of things happening. Folks were laughing and talking out in the narthex, catching up with one another. We had folks coloring pictures over here. We had our TED Talk over here. It was a really neat morning of a lot of different things happening and a lot of fellowship in the life of the church. So I hope you'll make plans to join us next week. For Sunday school, we have shifted the time to 9:30 instead of 9 o'clock. So we begin at 9:30 with some coffee time, and then the program begins after that. Nominating committee, please remember we're going to have a Zoom meeting tomorrow night. So we will, you will get an email from me with the information for that this afternoon. That will have the Zoom login information. Also, you've noticed the care line this week. We had a special care line about this. There will be a brief congregational meeting after worship this morning. This is the necessity every year. The congregation has to vote on the pastor's terms of call prior to the first pay period. That's because the IRS requires those decisions to be made before you get paid during the year. So that meeting will happen briefly after worship this morning, and elders and the finance committee chair will be able to present those figures to you and what that's going to look like. I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of glad Christmas is done. I loved it. We have a lot of other things happening in the life of the church. You will see a pretty robust care line this week. We have a lot of new information coming in. Thank you to everyone who remembers, if you have an announcement, there is a link in the care line where you can submit information for announcements for the care line or the bulletin. So if you have information about upcoming events, be sure to let us know about those. David has an announcement for us quickly.
Thanks, Robert. David Austin asked me to tell you all about something. From time to time, the choir members will take up a collection within our membership for something that somebody wants to support. We did that last month to support a Christian church in Bethlehem. Sally Browder has a friend who is a long story of the connections, but he was able to help us contribute to some money to buy some things so that this church could have a nice Christmas. Because of the economic blockades, the embargoes, a lot of people don't know they're Palestinian Christians. They've been there for millennia. And so we sent some money along with people from several other places around the country and got back some pictures. We're going to share those. David has suggested we share those with y'all. So they'll be coming up in a newsletter soon. Several people in the choir said it was an extraordinarily moving thing to see pictures of children in Bethlehem who had Christmas presents because we gave them money. And we've got money. They don't. And it was Mary Lois said that seeing those photographs made her Christmas. So we wanted to share that with you. So be watching for that.
Thanks, David. We also received this week an e-card. So I was going to try to copy the card and put it in the care line, but it wouldn't let me do this. We got an e-card, thank you, Happy New Year's, from the Spring Creek Community Center in North Carolina. That is where all of your gifts that were given back in October after the hurricane went. And they sent a very nice note thanking everyone at Westover Hills and in Little Rock who contributed to the relief effort, and thanked everyone for helping make this year a little brighter for them, or last year a little brighter for them after the storm. So thank you to everyone who generously gave toward that relief effort last year as well. Friends, let's gather our hearts and our minds as together we worship God.
Please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Friends of God, believe this. God loved the world. God loves the world. May the truth of this great love story shine through our worship today and renew our sense of calling. So come with your tiredness, your frustrations, and your discouragements. Come with your doubts, your fears, and your longings. Come to discover yet again how Jesus reveals God's love and mercy. Come in friendship to God and to each other and in friendship to the world. To listen for God's word to us, to offer our prayers, and to renew our calling.
Thanks be to God. We are loved.
Friends of God, let us worship. You may be seated. And please join me in the unison call to confession, the prayer of confession. Let us pray. God, you love this world so much that you sent your own Son, Jesus Christ, to live and even die among us in order that we might have life and have it abundantly. Forgive us for keeping that abundant life to ourselves, for jealously hoarding your generous gifts, for choosing self-interest over compassion and justice. Teach us what it means to live as children of the light, generously sharing your abundance with our brothers and sisters in need. Teach us what it means to live as children of life, generously sharing your grace with our brothers and sisters who have difficulty believing it. Teach us what it means to walk in the light of Christ. Amen.
Friends, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Which passes all understanding be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. No reason for the math problems?
No, I thought Bill was going to be. This morning, on this Epiphany Sunday, I am beginning a 3-sermon series on some work that my study group did last spring. You heard the first part of this in the summer.
we did a series of sermons called Loaded Words, where we took theological terms that had either lost their currency or that had become incredibly controversial or ones that we've just given up on, and we tried to resurrect them a little bit. This year, this January, the three that I'm going to be working with are today, atonement. The next one is righteous or righteousness. And the last week of the month is sin. Yeah, everybody's like, you're looking forward to that one, aren't you? So today, our topic, atonement, we take as our text the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, we need some context for this. Because the context most people have for John chapter 3 is football games. When you see somebody holding up a big sign that says John 3:16, right? When I was in seminary, this is my confession. When I was in seminary, we went to a Texas game one time and all held up signs that Jonah 5:19. Jonah's only four chapters long. But we still made it onto ESPN. John chapter 3 is one of a pair of stories, and you really have to have them both to understand them. The first is one we're going to hear is the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus. Nicodemus makes three appearances in the Gospel of John. The time he talks to Jesus in chapter 3 and chapter 7 when he comes back and he is at the council of the Pharisees telling them, if you're going to judge Jesus, you better follow the letter of the law. And then at the end, when he helps Joseph of Arimathea to bury the crucified Christ. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the dark of night in chapter 3. And he struggles to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus is saying. The companion story to this, we're not going to hear today, but we're going to hear later on in the spring, is the story of the Samaritan woman. She meets Jesus at the well during the day. But unlike Nicodemus, she has no name. Unlike Nicodemus, she is not a Jew, she's a Samaritan. The stories play off of one or another a little bit in John's Gospel, so it's important, I think, to know that they come together. But today we have Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John's Gospel. Listen, friends, for the word of the Lord. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom." Now pause there for a second and say, you may have grown up hearing that text read, unless someone is born again, it is not possible to see God's kingdom. Born anew, born again. We'll tell you that in a minute. Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I told you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows everywhere it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. It's the Spirit with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How are these things possible?" Jesus answered, "You are a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the human one. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send His Son to the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through the Son. Whoever believes in Him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe in Him is already judged, because they don't believe in the name of God's only Son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak to this unworthy servant and speak, in this and all times, speak to us as only you can, in silence of our hearts. Amen. Only those who are born anew, born from above, born again, will see the kingdom of heaven. That phrase that's used there is an ambiguous one in the Greek. The phrase itself can be translated in all three of those ways: anew, from above, or again. Now, a graduate student, and only doctoral students had this kind of time on their hands, did a catalog of every published use of that word for 500 years of Greek texts, and found that 95% of the time, it means from above. It's referring to spatial relationships. Only 5% of the time did it mean again or anew. But for years, the church has translated this as born again, born anew. I guess because born from above Christian doesn't have quite the same ring to it as born again Christian does. But the idea is still embedded in there of both of those things in this text. Born from above, born anew, born again. The problem still remains in Nicodemus' question. How is it possible for an adult to be born again? It's a reasonable question to what Jesus has said to him, isn't it? I mean, it's not as though it can happen. They didn't teach a lot of obstetrics in seminary, but working in Haiti in medical missions, I was present in enough births to know that it's a one-way trip into the world for that infant. And the interesting thing about this text is that it's entirely in the passive tense. A really better translation of it would be, you have to be born again. This thing has to be done to you again. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, telling us, that if we are going to comprehend the kingdom of God, something about us has to fundamentally change. Something that is as fundamental as birth. Something as fundamental as moving from the comfort of the womb to the chaos of the world. That's the transformation that has to happen in us, Jesus tells Nicodemus. Nicodemus, how can that possibly happen? Well, Jesus explains it to him. He's not saying you have to somehow crawl back into the womb and be physically born again. You've been born of the flesh. Now you need to be born of the Spirit. Be born of the Spirit. We're called to be born anew. Born again. Born from above. That phrase has had great currency in the church in the last 200 years. Have you ever been asked, are you born again? Those of us who grew up in the South definitely have been. It's part of the vocabulary of church, isn't it? Have you been born again? Many of my friends have asked me that over the years. Have you been born again? Are you born again? One of the things that is embedded in that question is the assumption that you or I have anything to do with it. See, I think Jesus uses this image of birth for a reason. An infant does not make the decision, I think I'm ready now, and consciously decide to come into the world. Birth happens to a baby. The baby is an unwitting participant in its birth. I think that's the reason that all babies are born looking very surprised. It is something that happens to us. That is, we are not actively choosing it. We are embracing what is happening to us. Like a child coming into the world and taking in its first breath, Christ is calling on us to be born anew, born again by the Spirit, and so transformed that we resemble an infant drawing its very first breath. That's, Jesus says, what it takes to be able to see the kingdom of God. Well, you can see why Jesus is saying this in a very passive way. You need to know that this is going to happen to you, Jesus says. Jesus does not say you need to consciously make the decision to be born again, because you need to do this thing so that you will know God's love. That is what's been misunderstood and misinterpreted about this text for so many years. That the loving act of Christ, the act of salvation, the act of atonement that makes us right with God, is something that we do. As if you or I have the capacity to reorient our sinful selves toward the true north of God. Christ dispels that myth from the very beginning. He says to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that God has sent God's only Son, not to judge, but to save. Salvation is something that happens to us, not something that we do for ourselves. So when we talk about being born anew, we're not talking about a decision you've made or I have made. We're talking about a decision God made a long, long time ago. So what does that mean then? What does our salvation mean if it does not depend on us to do something for us? This is where the problem of atonement comes in the life of the church. If Christ has acted to save us, if Christ is the one who births us again in the Spirit, not because we've asked for it, not because we've earned it, not because we've done something for it, but because that's just how overflowing God's love is, that God comes into the world to make this thing happen to us. When we understand that, an important question comes to the forefront. Why does the rest of it matter? This is a question I get asked by a lot of my friends who are not part of the Reformed tradition, where we believe in kind of atonement theory. That Christ has saved us once and for all of us, reunited with God through Christ's loving act. The question that gets asked is, then why bother being a good person? If once saved, always saved, why bother being good? Why not eat, drink, and be merry? Why not sleep in on Sunday morning? Why not keep all your money and not give it to the poor? Why not keep all your energy and not give it to El Zocalo or Women and Children First? Why bother doing all this stuff if it doesn't matter? Because what is salvation if not fire insurance? Right? Well, Christ kind of answers the question when he's talking to Nicodemus. See, what Jesus tells Nicodemus is, once you've been born anew, once you've been born again, once you've been born from above, once you've been born in the Spirit, there is something new in your sight line. What is in your sight lines now is the kingdom of heaven. And when the kingdom of heaven is in your sight line, friends, you can't turn away from it. It frames everything about you. Everything you see, everything you think, everything you do is framed against the backdrop of the kingdom of heaven then. And it's then that you look at the world and you say, I can't just sit back. I've got work to do. We've got work to do in this world. Because I can see the world, but I also have a vision, a view, a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, which means that now I understand the pain of my neighbor. Now I understand the brokenness of this world. Now I understand the importance of packing that box with canned goods and rice and beans. And I know the importance of making sure Christmas can happen for a child in Palestine. And I know the importance of making sure that a battered woman has a safe place to lay her head. I get it now. I get it. See, our atonement in Christ makes us right with God for eternity so that we can get the world right with God right now. In Christ, we are unburdened with forever so that we can focus on today. In Christ, we are unburdened with eternity so that we can focus on what's happening around us right here and right now. We are taken, the blinders of our own eternal salvation are taken off so we can see clearly the world that we share here, now, in this moment. Because once I can say, okay, my eternity is taken care of, Now I can turn my attention away from myself, perhaps. That's part of what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus here. We're not merely saved from an eternity of hell or something like that. We are saved for the work of God's kingdom in the world right now. And God does this for us, does this to us. We are saved, not because we've asked for it, earned it, or done anything for it, but because God wants us at work here and now in the world. And because God's love is so uncontainable and overflowing, that God just can't help God's self, but love us in spite of ourselves. One of my favorite descriptions of creation. Had a professor of theology in seminary, Cindy Rigby. Many of you have read her books, or you've heard her speak here at Cottom Lectures in the past. Cindy described creation as a great big bottle of champagne somebody shook up. And when the cork pops off, it could not contain the love of God anymore. So creation just had to happen. And God's love just sprouts out everywhere. That's what creation is. That's what we are. We are the product of God's uncontainable love. And the Christ event is the next chapter in that uncontainable love of God. God reminds us, you are mine yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. So don't worry about keeping your butt out of hell. Worry about keeping this from being hell. Worry about that child who's going to bed hungry tonight. Worry about that family who are living in their car. Worry about that older neighbor whose family's forgotten they're still there. Worry about that person you encounter every day who doesn't feel encountered or doesn't feel seen. In Christ, God has taken the burden of forever off of us, friends, so that we can be in the here and the now. And that's what our atonement with God is for. Christ does not pay a debt that we have to pay back. Christ acts in love in ways greater than we can imagine so that you and I can put our work and our wonder to use here with the backdrop of the kingdom of God. You and I are invited into God's holy work in this world. So don't worry about what we've been saved from. Think about what we've been saved for. And then we can get to work. Because friends, God did so love the world. And still does. Amen.
Please remain standing for the affirmation of faith. I have some questions for you. What is faith?
Faith is the knowledge of God's benevolence toward us, founded upon the truth of the freely given promise in Christ.
Is faith the same as belief?
Faith is more than a personal opinion or human conviction. It is God's promise alive in us.
How do we come to faith? Can we lose our faith?
In every life, there are seasons when faith is too heavy to bear, or when we feel distant from God. Although we may struggle to hold on to our faith in God, God's faithfulness toward us never fails.
Friends, all that we have and all that we are gifts from God's almighty hands. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. You'll find the offering boxes at the front of the intermediate aisles of the church. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. It is written that they will come from north and from south, from east and from west, and gather at the table and share in God's holy meal. So come, not because you must, but because you may. Come, not because you deserve, but because you are invited. Come, taste, see and know that the Lord is indeed good. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for your work in creation. Through your providential love and care, you bring us from beginning to today, and you carry us from today into your eternity. We give you thanks for the witness of your prophets, who, when we find ourselves going astray, call us back to your path. We give you thanks for your steadfast love, love that endures in spite of our sinfulness. We give you thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ, who came into the world not to judge or to condemn, but to bear your love even closer to us. We give you thanks that in his teaching, his working, his very living, Christ bore witness to your love and your grace. We give you thanks that in the fullness of time, you gathered your church to be your people in this world, to carry the message of Christ to all of your children. We give you thanks that on the night when he was died, the night before he died, the night of his betrayal, Christ took bread. And after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this and remember me." Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon us, upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of Christ. Bring your Spirit into this place, O God, and just as these normal elements are transformed by your Spirit, so may we be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. May we be born anew, born again, born from above, so that we may join the chorus proclaiming your love and your grace in the world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. And now, friends, as Christ taught us, let us be bold and pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Friends, these are the gifts of God for all the children of God. Come, all is prepared. Elders, please come serve God's people. Poured out for you. Carol, the cup of Christ poured out for you. carry the cup of Christ poured out for you. Where's the cup of Christ poured out for you? Christ poured out for you. Amen. All the cup of Christ poured out for you.
Amen.
All the cup of Christ poured out for you. Kate, the cup of Christ poured out for you. Jackie, the cup of Christ poured out for you. Brenda, the cup of Christ poured out for you. Hope. That's for one of the choir members. Thank you. Cup of Christ poured out for you, David.
Thank you.
The bread's gluten free. The bread's gluten free.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm so sorry.
She's lovely. Cup of Christ poured out for you. Cup of Christ poured out for you. Cup of Christ poured out for you, Nancy. Christ poured out for you. John, come with Christ poured out for you. Cup of Christ poured out for you. Let us pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's blessings. Amen.
If you will, please just have a seat for just a moment while we have our quick congregational meeting. We will allow our worship this morning to be our opening prayer. Madam Clerk, a quorum is present. I would call on the elders for finance, stewardship, and also the elder for personnel to come and present the pastor's terms of call for the coming year. And Bill Branch, if I can ask you to take over the meeting for a moment and entertain the coming motion.
If I hadn't done this before sometime, I would be in big trouble, or you would be in big trouble, one or the other. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
Yes, sir.
Would you hear that? Yes, sir. Let us pray. Oh God, be with us as we do the business of the church, knowing that you are with us and that you call us to serve you in this place and throughout the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Now I call on the committee to make your report.
Good morning. My name's Debbie Cooper, and I'm the moderator of the Finance Committee. And I am here to present Pastor Roberts' proposed terms of call for 2025. Basically, the bottom line for 2024, his terms of call were $95,990 per year. And for 2025, they are $96,173. That's an increase of only $100.